Hi, this is Krishna Marie Campbell. This is January 18th, 2016. This is October Life Coach Training 2015. And this is Coach to Coach 2, the third of four classes, and this is our turnaround class. And so I'm excited. I know lots of you have been asking questions about it. And I just see, Maria, you just joined?
Yes, I did. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Welcome.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm just kind of taking roll call here. Want to make sure you guys get credit for your classes. Not that you get credit or don't, but we'd like to know who's here.
Well, I actually was hanging out on another call and missed. I put in the wrong code. And then I said, why
did
one? And then I said, oops, wrong code. And I said,
well, somebody else is joining our class that was supposed to be in another class, so it's a common mistake today. No problem.
Thank you.
Hey, one thing, David, I really appreciate you put your three limiting beliefs coming into class. Awesome on the forum. And I want to also, by the time we're going to do a little exercise, and everybody needs to have at least one limiting belief. So I'm telling you this now so that if you don't have them at the ready, you can by the time we get to a certain exercise we're going to do, because it's going to be a little bit different. We're going to do kind of like a round robin, so we each need to have a limiting belief. So be thinking of that in the background. I mean, I'll start off with one of mine, so you won't immediately be put on the spot. But and then we'll also get to duets. But first, I'm just to any questions, because it's been I think I'm like almost a month since we've connected live, and there was the holiday and mind body, and I just want to open it up for questions, comments about what's working, what's not with the work, or even if you have mind body questions, just what's going on with you guys now.
Hi,
I'm having a little trouble hearing you, Annalie.
Okay.
Better.
Can you hear me?
Better.
No, okay. I the body-mind work very, very powerful. So I like that quite a lot. But the turnaround stuff, originally, I found it very difficult and I had quite resistance to it because it felt very intellectual. But as I've worked with it more, and especially as I've listened to some of the audios on the coaching site, I'm getting used to the way it works. So it's getting better. But I'm not...
Oh, good.
Yeah. I'm not very good at it yet, but it's getting better. So
Oh, you're fading out.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was saying I found this an amazing course for me as a person. And I was in South Africa now for 2 months, and I worked a lot with my friends there. And it's a very joyful and very humbling experience experience that you can help someone. So that's quite wonderful for me.
Oh, that's neat, Annalie. I appreciate that. What I understood is, one, the mind-body work was powerful, and the turnarounds, you've been listening and getting better at them. You're not great, but you're getting better. And also it's humbling and quite touching when you help somebody with this work. Is that what I understood?
Yes, you understood quite
well.
Right.
Yes. Okay, good. Good. Just the line is a little crackly, so I wanted to make sure.
Oh,
I got it.
Okay.
And other people got it. That's very
okay.
Neat. Mm-hmm. Any other questions, comments? I just love to hear your little voices.
This is Maria. I would love to share that Martha's, how she did the work and her explanation of just the work and sitting with some of the questions a little bit longer was just mind-blowing for me. The work that was done with Robin, I thought Robin was brave, and just that call was that call cemented for me why coaching, why I'm on the right path. So I wanted to just share that. It was just, it was awesome.
That is very neat, Maria. And I do think it is, you know, we're in a little bit of a different environment because we're teaching and we have some time constraints. But the idea of this can be kind of a mental, I could say a crude word here, but I won't, but kind of a kind of spinning around, and you can take the work and make it very mental, but it's that's not the intention. The intention
right.
is it is a form of inquiry and slowing it down and letting the person come to their own insights while their brain, because their brain is actually creating new neural connections. And I didn't hear your work that you did, Robin, but I imagine it was, it sounds like it was quite profound with Martha, so that's really neat.
I was on there a long time.
Okay. Cool.
No, it was great. It was really an amazing experience, and thanks to all for the support around that as well. But what I really picked up on was how quickly we can get down to that place of inner knowing through the access door, and with Martha and I, we use loving my kids as an absolute truth to just
right.
get into a place of truth. And it was sort of like the body compass where we were calibrating what that truth is. And then mm-hmm. from there, it was easy to say, yes, this is true, and no, it's not true.
Right. I love that. Yeah, I love that kind of what's a question that you absolutely know is true. And you get that body felt sense. One, that alone overrides any mind chatter. So when you're in this, you know, I do think it's almost kind of this process of learning how to open your heart while working with your mind that's so stuck in these grooves, these beliefs that aren't actually serving us anymore, but so I love that you got to that inner knowing, which that's kind of my sense of the heart opening and the connection to intuition. It always comes through the body and emotions. So very, very powerful, neat. And it is more body, it kind of brings in that body compass to have that question, that that felt sense of, oh, for sure, you love your kids. There's no question there.
Yeah.
Neat. Awesome. Okay. Any other comments, burning questions? Hopefully you're gathering, if you haven't already, at least one limiting belief that we can use today. But first what I'll do is I'll just do a little talk about turnarounds, because that's often where people get a little stuck in the learning process. But once you... we're going to give you some mechanics to support yourself and your clients, and it's not necessarily an absolute process, meaning it's kind of even what you were saying, Robin, those turnarounds come from a place deep within, and sometimes your client can't get there, and so we have a few mechanics to help them along that process. And the purpose of a turnaround is really just to jolt the mind, and they're not truths. Turnarounds are not truths. They're just windows into other interpretations. So turnarounds aren't about feeling good or having a positive affirmation. That's not. Sometimes people get confused with that. It's about cracking open the perceptions and letting new light in to the brain. And it often comes with sometimes your client will come up with a really weird-sounding, grammatically incorrect turnaround that's actually quite powerful for them. So, and remember that not all limiting beliefs have three turnarounds. But it's kind of this idea that we have one thought that our mind is so convinced is true, and we're just trying to, it's almost like a prism, like we're trying to create enough cracks so that you can shine the light through, and there's different colors of the spectrum that come through. and to look at them, try them on, consider them, and let new insights emerge from that. So it's really just an invitation to your client to try on new beliefs. And mechanically, the way you want to do that is you want to repeat the original thought. Again, it's very important to stay with the client's language, so you're not going to be shifting the thought. That's why it's important for you to write down that original thought and keep repeating it how they said it. Repeat that original thought and ask the client to turn around. And sometimes they need some coaching, and you can always say, the easiest for me is saying the original, he insulted me. So the original thought is, he insulted me. Now turn it around to the opposite. So kind of leading them to that. Usually people can figure out, oh, he didn't insult me. When a client hears a turnaround, they may say, well, that doesn't resonate or feel right. And it doesn't, we're not looking for the client to have a resonant turnaround. Actually, often it will feel uncomfortable or dissonant to them because it is such a new perception that they'll want to reject it. And so the idea is to kind of hang with that and say, well, see if you can find three pieces of evidence where that could be true or has been true. So finding, gently encouraging them to find examples anyway, because that's the process that helps the mind go out there and find new data, new neural connections. Because when we are, if you think about it, when we're attached to a thought, it's very black and white. And really nothing in our world is black and white. When you hit that, you know, when somebody, oh, it's clear what he insulted me, we're usually bumping into the personal religion. And so it will be uncomfortable for that to loosen up. And then we're going to talk about specifics about how to turn it around to the self and how to turn it around to the other. But you still want to encourage the client to see if they can come up with that. And if they can't, then that's when you want to say, hey, I can think of a turnaround. Do you want to hear it? And then offer it to them. But let them, now, when you're first working with a client, they'll be like, what? Other? I don't understand what you mean by that. So there's a little bit of educating on some mechanics, which we're going to do today, of how to do that. But when they kind of are grokking the mechanics, you really want them to emerge with the turnaround, because that's coming from that inside place. And when you offer it, well, here's how turning it around to the self, if the original thought is he insulted me, I insulted me, you know, and then ask them to find the examples. So that's when you, I have an example. Do you want to hear it? And then you give them. So remember that the purpose of the work, this whole process, is for somebody to have a felt sense of the cause and effect of their attachment to a painful belief, and then trying on something different. That's the whole reason we're having them access a different place in themselves that's in there. It's just the mind is kind of locked down and saying, nope, nothing else exists except this. So,
can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
So this is Robin. And I know Terry addressed this a little in the homework piece we listened to, but if we take your example, he insulted me, and let's just go a little farther and say, you know, he abused me, or, you know, my father abused me. And if the client is really, like, that happened, and they're really strong in that conviction, how do we work with that turnaround, he didn't abuse me, if it's true that it did happen, and, you know, and not lose the client to,
you know,
to just saying, this is bullshit, I'm out of here.
Well, and so you might, this is kind of where you're using your marmoset. And at this point, the work, if the person has a lot of charge on it, it may not be, you have to see, you're in that situation, it may not be the right time to use the work. There might be other mind-body tools to use. I would go with a mind-body to have them have that turn towards that feeling. And because people have to, so that's why we have a plethora of tools and knowing when they're the right time. And if somebody just needs to feel the grief, okay, I'll shut up now. Does that make sense, Rama?
It does. It just sounds like, yeah, maybe this isn't the right tool for addressing that, at least to get in there to begin with. Try something else first, yeah.
Yes, I would. And then there might be a time where it would be the person could actually consider that.
Yeah. But after some softening and opening has already occurred. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm processing. Like, I was thinking of my dad, my whole relationship. If you've seen our TED Talk, my dad hit me. And I've done a lot of work on it. I could probably do the work now on it and say he didn't abuse me, you know. Three examples of why that's true. Well, he was actually trying to raise, you know, I can hold for that space now.
Mm-hmm.
Probably I couldn't have, you know, earlier in my healing process.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a good question.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other questions? Good time, because I'll go into the different turnarounds. Okay, so the three turnarounds that, and these are kind of the mechanics. Again, somebody can come up with a creative turnaround that may not fit this. And again, not all beliefs have three turnarounds. But let's use the thought, he hurt me. So the opposite, he did not hurt me. You just change the verb in that one to he did not hurt me. Turning it around to the self, and I've been talking about this, but this is where you take all the starring roles in the sentence. So rather than he hurt me, I hurt me. So the other person doesn't exist, and I'm in the sentence both as the beginning and the end. And then to turn it around to the other, that means we swap roles in the sentence. So rather than he hurt me, I hurt him. So we're just trading places in the role. And that's a really clear belief that has three turnarounds because there's two people in it. Anytime there's two people, that makes it easier because it's all about changing the roles or in the sentence. And I use the word roles. I'm an actress. You could use, if you're more of an English person, it's probably the subject that you're changing, or I don't even know. I was more of an engineer, so. Now, if you have a self-limiting belief, just somebody kind of imploding on themselves, like I'm inadequate, you notice that there is not another human being in that sentence. It's just me. I'm inadequate. So we can certainly get the opposite, I'm not inadequate, or if your client pops out with I'm adequate, both of those would work. But there's really no other way to turn it around to the self because there's not two people, or the other because there's not two people. Are there questions on that? Okay.
I have a quick one. Sorry, I just unmuted myself. It's Heather.
Yeah.
I remember a while back, I was, I don't know, a couple classes ago, I was asking about turnarounds, and I had a client that it was a really juicy call. And so the belief we were working with was my father shouldn't die young because her dad has cancer. And so we turned it around to my father or my dad should die young. And then I think I shared with the group that the turnarounds weren't really as big a deal for her as the question before that. And so we just kind of let it go. We were running out of time, blah, blah, blah. But can you help me go through what the other turnarounds would be? So I'm guessing now, after hearing you, turning it to the self would be, I shouldn't die young. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then what would the next one be?
Well, are there two people in the sentence?
My father shouldn't die young. No, it's just about her dad.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could do something funky like change my dad and die young, but that die young shouldn't my dad. You can't, there's not another person to switch roles with.
Oh, right.
So that's why.
Right.
But you did put the
self. Oh, good. Okay. That's such a simple answer. I wasn't getting it. Okay. I get it.
Oh, you were perfect. That's perfect.
Thank you.
You bet. It's another way, like if you have one that's like, my legs are ugly, so it's about some body part. you can always do my legs are not ugly or my legs are beautiful if the client comes out with that. Again, there's not another I am ugly. You could put the self in there, I am ugly, or my thinking is ugly. That's another way to, but again, you can't turn, there's not two people, so you can't, there's not even a person, but you can insert, you know, my thinking or I am. And again, not to, it's not about feeling good, it's about kind of opening up the thinking, the brain.
That makes sense.
Questions on that? Because this is often where if people are gonna there. Okay. I'll just give a couple of examples, and then we're gonna start with our round robin. So I have to keep proving myself to my boss. So you notice there's two people, me and my boss, in there. Turnarounds. I don't have to keep proving myself to the boss. I have to keep proving myself to me. That's the self turnaround. My boss has to keep proving himself to me. That's the other, where we switch roles. Now, one of the things, people get confused if you're trying to take a feeling to the work, which you're not supposed to do. That's always, be aware. People are often trying to turn around feelings, and it's, remember, feelings are true, so don't take them to the work. I'm just trying to think of another example. So my family shouldn't clutter. That's just one example somebody had. My family should clutter. I shouldn't clutter. And you could also, again, there's my clutter shouldn't my family, but that's, there's really not two people in the sentence. There's only one. That's kind of like my dad shouldn't die young. My family shouldn't clutter. Okay.
I've got another question. It's Robin again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was doing a thought with a coach buddy last week, and my thought was I have to prove my worth to others. And when we came to the other, we weren't sure if it's others have to prove their worth to me or others have to prove my worth to me. How would you approach?
You know, I would see what they came up with and work with that, because I think you could actually make a case to do either or.
So it could go either way, whatever turnaround just feels a little bit more zingy.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Oh, yeah. No rules, just fun. All right.
Well, yeah, kind of guidelines and but seeing, that's why asking the other person, once they kind of know the mechanics, saying, well, how would you turn it around to the other and see what they come up with? So you're kind of dancing with them in this whole process. I just also want to welcome Tracy. I see her on the call, so that's cool. Okay, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to use our roster, because we're gonna do a round robin, and I'm going to call you guys. This is the order I see your names in. Rachel, Tanya, Danielle, Robin, Annalie, Candace, Heather, Tracy, Maria, David, and Jerry. Although I don't think Candace is here. Are you, Candace? No. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start us off. I'll have a turnaround. And Rachel, I'm going to have you turn it around to the opposite. If you can't, we'll go to Tanya. And then Tanya, let's say, I'm not saying you can't, Rachel, so, but Tanya, this is just an example. If Tanya turns it around to the opposite, then I'll have Danielle turn it around to the self. And then I'll have Robin turn it around to the other. And then we'll ask Robin, what is his one-liner? And then Annalie will turn it around to the opposite. So we're going to go around. We're going to do a few rounds of this. This is why I wanted you to have your one-liners, so you might want to have your one-liners ready. So we can practice just hearing these different turnarounds in these three ways. So, Rachel, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So my belief is she's abandoning me. Turn it around to the opposite.
She's
she's abandoning me.
I'm abandoning her?
So I'm just going to intervene here. No, you're switching the role. Stay for the, if when you turn it around to the opposite, you just change the verb. So she is abandoning me.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm used to starting right. with the self, so I got turned around.
Okay.
So she's not abandoning me.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay, Tanya, turn it around to the self. She's abandoning me.
I'm abandoning myself.
Right. Okay, Danielle, turn it around to the other. She's abandoning me.
I'm abandoning her.
Right. Awesome. So, Danielle, what's your one-liner?
Oh, got to grab it. I don't know if this is hard, but well, I can't feel my success.
I can't. Well, it's a feeling piece, so I can't
feel
my success.
Right. Well, okay, maybe I'll just do a different one. I am not able to live in the moment.
I'm not able to live in the moment. Okay. I think that one's okay. Okay, Robin, turn it around to the opposite. I'm not able to live in the moment.
I'm not able to live in the moment. Opposite is I am able to live in the moment.
Right. Annalie, turn it around to the self. I'm not able to live in the moment. And if you don't think it can be turned around, then that's what you say. Are you there, Annalie? Nope, she left. Okay. Boy, I thought she was really struggling with that one. Heather.
I'm
not able to live in the moment.
I'm racking my brain and totally blank. Can I just pass, or do you want me to just keep thinking?
No, I
don't know.
Actually, it's remember, there's not two people here. There's a subject, so I'm not able to live in the moment would be the other possibility, so I'm not able to live in me. You could try that one.
Oh, okay.
But there's not two people. You could, but there's an object in the moment. So in me,
right.
If they came up with that. So you're not crazy. It's not an easy, straightforward.
Okay. Can I try something else?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. Let's ask a question.
This is Rachel. Could it be also the moment I'm not able to live in, like just swapping it?
That might be what you, if you were going to treat moment as if it was an object, then when you turn it around to the other, you could say, possibly, the moment I'm not able to live, is not able to live in me. But it's kind of funky, so we're stretching. I'm letting you know we're stretching because there's not another human being in there.
Okay.
Does that make sense, Rachel?
Yeah, I think so.
So, I mean, you could make a case that there's really only the opposite turnaround unless it resonated. You know, you could be working with a client and they came up with the moment is not able to live in me and go, oh, my God, that's, you know, after struggling, it might be really profound for them. But that's them
mm-hmm.
coming up with it. Are you offering it and seeing if they're willing to work with it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a quick
Heather.
Question. It's Heather. So if, say, for example, in this case or another one like this, if they come up with one like the opposite, for example, and they have this, you know, aha moment, is it enough to just, you know, get the three examples or whatever of how that might be true and let them dwell in that place? Or do you keep – because sometimes I have found in the past that – then I'll try to milk it, and I'll be like, okay, and now we're going to turn it around again. And then I've kind of, like, lost the beautiful moment that we just had. So is it – sometimes do you just leave it at one?
When there's not two people, unless – I would open it and say, is there another turnaround that you see in that?
Mm-hmm.
Or if I had one that I'm like, oh, they should really try this one. Oh, I have one, you know, but I'm not going to push it if it's not really – you know, there's not two people to turn it around to the self or turn it around to the other.
Right.
Not all beliefs have three turnarounds.
Right.
Some just have one, and some have two. So I think you're
okay.
I think you can stop milking.
Good. It's kind of painful.
Yeah. And it sounds like you have the felt sense inside of you, oh, I'm pushing, and this doesn't necessarily fit. Tell me what.
I know, it's because I'm trying to, like, do it right and get them all.
Okay, let that go.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, what's your belief, Heather?
Okay, I have, this is for a yoga class, by the way, but I need a lot of people to have a good class.
Need a lot of people to have a good class. Okay, we'll try with that.
Is that too hard?
No, it's long, that's all. I need a lot of people to have a good class. But let's try it. Let's see where we go. So, Tracy,
okay.
What's the opposite? Tracy, are you there? Oh, maybe she got off the call. Okay, we'll skip Tracy. Maria, what's the opposite?
I don't need many people to have a good yoga class.
The only thing is I would stay with her language. So try it one more time.
Oh,
I need a lot of people to have a good class.
Oh, I don't need a lot of people to have a good class.
Perfect. Excellent. Okay, David, can you turn it around to the self?
Let me see. Okay, hold on.
Sorry, David.
That's okay. That's okay. I need me to have a good class.
So again,
I need a lot of me to have a good class.
Yeah, there you go.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's good.
See?
I'll take that
and,
one.
Yeah. Jerry, are you there, Jerry?
I am.
Okay, great. I'm a little paranoid. I'm asking people and they're not there. So, Jerry, turn it around to the other.
Would it be people need a lot of me to have a good class?
That would be it. Good job.
Mm.
You see how it's much easier when there's two human beings, and that's why the judge your neighbor, your judgments are about somebody else, so there's often a natural, and that's not just a trick, it's because you're getting at this ingrained thinking that's holding the person in a suffering place. So, Jerry, what is your limiting belief?
Okay, people don't want to pay me for coaching.
People don't, and I'm always writing these down, people don't want to pay me for coaching. Okay, Rachel, turn it around to the opposite.
Okay.
People don't want to pay me for coaching.
People want to pay me for coaching.
Excellent. Tanya, turn it around to the self. People don't want to pay me for coaching.
I don't want to pay me for coaching.
Excellent. Danielle, turn it around to the other. People don't want to pay me for coaching.
Oh,
people don't want to pay me for coaching.
I'm struggling.
Okay. Well, let's see if Robin can get it. People don't want to pay me for coaching. Turn it around to the other, Robin.
I don't want to pay people for coaching.
Yeah. So, Danielle, all you do in the other is you have the two human beings in the sentence change places.
Oh, okay. Change. Okay, right.
Yeah. Okay. Robin, I think did we use your belief last time? No.
No.
What's your one-liner?
My life shouldn't be so hard.
My life shouldn't be so hard. Okay. So, Heather, turn it around to the opposite.
My life should be so hard.
Yep. And Maria, turn it around to the self.
Hmm. Bye. Self.
So there's the cute. It's kind of a trick question because are there people?
I shouldn't have a hard life. No.
You really can't. So because there's not two human beings, it makes it really tricky.
Yeah, it's hard.
Well, it's pretty near impossible. You could say my life shouldn't be me so hard, or my life shouldn't be so me. But it's really not.
I shouldn't be so hard. Or that's hard.
I shouldn't be so hard. That would be, so you can take out life and put the self.
Yeah.
You could do that. But so we're kind of I really want to underscore where there's not a lickety-split turnaround to the self and the other when there's not two people. I think, Maria, you came up with a neat one. I shouldn't be so hard is a possibility. Okay. Maria, what's your what's a one-liner that you have?
I'm not brave.
Okay, so I just want to underscore, David, when you hear that sentence, I'm not so brave, are there two people in it?
No, ma'am.
Right, so I just want to underscore a little bit of, there might be some creative turnarounds past the first one, but maybe not. So what's the opposite, David? I'm not so brave. I'm not brave.
I am so brave.
I am so brave. Great. Jerry, can you turn it around to the self?
Sorry, it took me a long time to get it off mute. I'm not so brave to the self. You can't because there's only one person.
Right. I'm not so me, maybe, but we're taking out brave, which is a key part of it. Okay.
What about my thinking? That would be good here. Right?
You could do that one. Yeah, for sure, Robin. You could put my thinking is not so brave if you're trying to get more mileage out of it. Or I'm not so brave. Yeah, that's the original thought. So, Yeah. Okay. Okay, we're going to stop the round robin. All of that, though, you see how I want you to kind of have a ding, 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 ding. This is only one person in it, meaning I may not have three turnarounds. I may not even have two turnarounds. I could use my thinking possibly, and the client may come up with something. But otherwise, the mechanical way of doing it, putting myself in both roles, if there's not two roles, I can't really turn it around to the self. I can't swap roles if there's not two other human beings in there. Questions on that?
I don't have a question. I just want to say that was very helpful for me.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Yeah, me too.
Excellent. Okay.
Yep, definitely clears up some things, that's for sure, because I was struggling with trying to go to all three when there was probably one subject, and that's why my brain was fried.
Probably.
Couldn't figure it out.
And I don't want to say
for clearing it all up.
You bet. and your client, I also want to leave room that mechanically, it's you're not going to get that many turnarounds if you don't have two people. And you could put my thinking, or the client may come up with something. So don't turn those away, but don't beat yourself up like, oh my God, I can't figure it out. So.
I knew there was something that had to be that I was missing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we're going to turn to duets. So you guys all have these nice limiting beliefs that you came to class with, so I would imagine you're ready to be clients. I'm just assuming that. So I'm going to check who is willing to be coached. Who's willing to coach? And I'm just going to say, who's coached in the past? Heather is coached last time. Maria coached. David Coates.
Coates, yep.
Yeah, so.
Chris Marie?
You guys can be, yes.
This is Tanya. I have not coached, and I am willing to coach.
You rock. Thank you, Tanya. Love it. Okay, and who is willing to be coached?
Hi, this is Rachel. I'm willing.
Okay, Rachel. Excellent. Okay. And then who's willing to coach? I would ideally like to get two duets in. So who is also willing to coach?
This is Annie D. I'm willing to coach. I'm not sure if my voice is breaking up again because I lost the line a little while back.
Okay. I can hear you, but we'll see. We'll put you on deck and check your connection because it'd be nice.
Okay.
And then who would be willing to be coached? I think we had another client volunteer.
That was me. I'll do it.
Is that David? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll start with Danielle, you coaching Rachel, and then I hope we'll have time, and Annalise, David.
I think it was Tanya.
Oh, Tanya.
Right?
Yes, it was Tanya, not Danielle.
Sorry.
That's okay.
It's my chart that is screwed up. Thank you for the correction. Okay, Tanya. Hopefully Rachel has a succinct thought, so then the idea is to go through the work and go through the whole arc. And again, you can say, I need a coffee chat, Chris Marie. Time out, we'll talk. Otherwise, and there might be some reason I interrupt just because I can be that way, but otherwise I will give you, I'll check in at 15 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Just one quick question before we start. So because we're short for time, the way that Martha modeled it for us, where you really, really sit with, can you absolutely know it's true? I'm assuming we can't really, you know, spend 15 minutes on that one if you kind of want us to move through it.
I would actually give her some time, hold some space,
right,
and see.
Okay.
But not unending. And you can always do more. I always, with the pairs, I like to also have you follow up if you don't get through, to kind of have a follow-up session.
Okay.
Yeah. So using your judgment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel, are you ready to get started?
I am.
Well, it's nice to meet you. I don't think we've ever worked together before.
Nice to meet you too, Tanya.
So do you have a thought that's causing you some discomfort?
I do, and this has been kind of a recurring theme for a long time in my life. And it's kind of something like, I will never have enough money, or I will never make enough money to be comfortable. Seems like we always just have like just enough, but not enough to really do the fun stuff. So I would say it's I will never have or make enough money. I don't know if it matters which is which, but.
Of those two, which one feels more true to you? Is it that I'll never have enough or I'll never make enough?
Well, I think probably because I'm launching a new business, the one that seems strong is I will never make enough.
Okay.
A lot of self-doubt.
Yes. I think we all do. So that's probably a good one for all of us to go through together.
Yep.
Awesome. That was almost exactly what mine was too. So cool. We'll do it together.
Perfect.
Okay, so what I have down here is I will never make enough money to be comfortable. How's that feel?
Yeah, it feels like the fear that keeps me up at night.
Yeah. So when you think of that thought.
Tanya, this is Chris Marie. I'm just going to remind you, and she might have said when it happens, but really hone in on the specific situation where that thought really grips her.
Okay, Rachel. So you said this is a thought that keeps you up at night. Can you think of a time, maybe it's at night, maybe it's during the day, but just a real specific situation when you're having this thought so we can kind of really focus on that and think about it?
Yeah, actually, really recently, I had I got a slew of very unexpected medical bills, and I was kind of, the minute I opened them, panicked because they were hundreds of dollars, which I hadn't planned on and didn't really know where it was going to come from. So I'd say that was definitely a moment where I started to feel really, you know, anxious and, quick, I got to get going, I got to make more money, and, you know, panicked.
Right.
Whereas before that, I was totally calm. And then I opened the one letter, and I'm like,
Yeah. And so your mind immediately went to, I will never have enough money to be comfortable. I'll never make enough money to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when that was happening, when you're opening these bills and you're kind of freaking out and you're having the thought, I will never make enough money to be comfortable, in that moment, is that thought true?
I mean, I think it's true in that moment, but it's not necessarily true for the future. Are you asking for that moment or for the future?
I am asking for that moment right now.
Yeah, it's true for that moment.
Okay.
Because I'm not making a lot of money at the moment.
Okay. And now... I want you to kind of drop into your body, just kind of sink into your core, where you and everybody's kind of core center might be in a slightly different place, but if you kind of have a place where you really feel things, especially where you feel things as true, kind of feel into that place right now for just a second. Maybe take a couple of deep breaths. And when you kind of feel like you're feeling into that place, just let me know.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, Rachel. And I want you, at feeling into your core, can you absolutely know that it's true when the thought, I will never make enough money to be comfortable?
No, because, well, because I'm hoping that I will in the future, obviously. there are some things that are, you know, I have a home over my head and food to eat. Just the extra stuff, there's nothing.
Right.
So, no, I can't know that it's true.
Okay. Well, step back to the moment where you are opening these bills, you're having an anxious fear response, the thought is really, really at the forefront of your mind, I will never make enough money to be comfortable. And just describe to me how you react when you believe, I will never make enough money to be comfortable.
I get really panicky, and I stress that I should be doing more, and I should be doing something, and I'm not doing enough, and I haven't done the right thing. And my brain that is very had a few minutes ago been very calm, my brain starts to freak out, spinning with a million thoughts of what I should or shouldn't be doing or what I did wrong. So I don't go to a good place.
Right. Tell me about your body. How does it feel in your body when you believe I will never make enough money to be comfortable?
I would say I get shallow breath and I get a tight stomach and really constricted
right.
breath and almost like a headache response, like down from my head, down through my spine. It's a tight, fluttering
right.
feeling.
And how do you treat yourself when you're thinking this thought?
Not very good. I put myself down for choices that I've made or feel badly, you know, that I'm not providing enough, making enough, that I've So I kind of beat myself up a little mentally.
Yeah.
Then I kind of have to put myself back on track, you know, okay, get back to what you were doing before. You're doing fine. I have to give myself this little self-talk, you know, keep doing what you're doing. Everything's fine. You know, it's like I'm start coaching myself to calm myself down.
Right. And if anyone else happened to be with you in a moment where you're having this thought, I will never make enough money to be comfortable, how would you treat them?
I usually kind of retreat. I just kind of want to be left alone to process the information, or so that I don't, you know, so I don't lash out.
Right. Right. Okay. Now I want to take you to a place where the same bills come in, the situation is exactly the same, but we've waved a magic wand and you no longer can think, I will never make enough money to be comfortable. That thought is not there. The situation is exactly the same, but the thought is completely gone. See if you can feel into that moment. And let me know, who would you be in that moment without the thought, I will never make enough money to be comfortable?
I think I would just be matter of fact. Oh, that's annoying. I got some medical bills. I guess I'll have to, you know, pay those off slowly over the next few months.
Right.
And I just wouldn't go into panic mode. I would just think I would be more practical about it. You know, oh, I could just get myself on a payment plan, no big deal. I would just be very matter-of-fact and practical about it and calmer.
Okay. Okay, so we've got an idea of how you feel when you have the thought and who you might be able, but it might be a relief not to have the thought. So let's see if we can play with this thought and come up with some turnarounds that could be just as true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
So let's start with the easy one first. If the thought is, I will never make enough money to be comfortable, can you think of a thought, the opposite of that, that could also be true?
Yes, I will make enough money to be comfortable.
Okay. And can you think of a couple of examples that of why that could be just as true?
I have a question about that. Can it be something that's futuristic, or does this have to be an example from – this is actually a question that came up when I was in a session this week. We had coffee talk for like 60 seconds. Does it have to be something that really happened, or can it be something about the future? I don't know the answer.
It's the mind loves evidence, so it tends to believe actual evidence, so that would make it past tense, where you've experienced the I will make enough money to be comfortable, like you have had enough money to be comfortable. That would be mine.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that you couldn't include it, but I would tend to go to past because the.
So what, you know, I've been raising my children the last 15 years, so I've only been working part time. So it's, I don't have a lot of examples of when I've worked full time. You know, I've only worked full time once, and it was a while ago. So can I only give one example then? I don't have to have three examples.
No, I mean, we want you to have three, and so if you, I mean, if you can't come up with.
I don't have three.
So let's try it, Rachel. And you may have had money. So what I would tend to think of, have you, when you were 15, did you have a part-time job or any sort of ever have money from chores? You know, that's where I would be encouraging you to look, expanding your thinking.
So making could be someone, could I replace it with have? I mean, obviously I've had enough money my whole life, but I didn't, since I've been raising my children, a lot of it has come from my husband. So that's where it gets kind of complicated with the making and versus the having. Can we replace the having word then for these examples?
I would still try to see if you can come up with any time in your life when you made money. And it, I guess you've never had a job besides when you were working part-time with your husband?
No, I was a full-time teacher, but when I made full, okay. You know, I worked full-time and I made enough money, but that's my only one example.
Okay.
Beyond that, I don't have
So when you were a full-time teacher, you made enough money to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you previously, even when you were a little kid, did you ever make enough money to be comfortable?
No, I mean, I didn't really work when I was a kid, no.
No chores that you got paid for, no part-time jobs or car washes or...
No. I went to a really academic high school. There was no time for working.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel, were there ever any times, specific times, when you were a teacher where you kind of had a fear and things worked out that you could maybe get specific? Instead of looking at it as a whole, I always had enough. There, this time happened and this time happened and this time happened maybe.
Well, during the whole time that I was working full-time and we had two full-time careers, we had enough. And before we had three kids, we had
plenty
of extra money. Sorry to be difficult here. I just I don't know really where to go to it beyond that.
One, Rachel, I don't think you're being difficult. It's more I think you have a belief. I think, Tanya, you're coming up with a good idea, like be more specific when you were a teacher. And even you've had part, it sounds like even when you've been married, when you've had a part-time job and your husband still has contributed, have you have made enough money to be comfortable in addition to it, or you've never been comfortable since you've been?
No, I feel like we've always been struggling to, like, make enough to you know, to do the extra stuff, like go on vacation. Go out to dinner, or, you know, we make just enough, but never, like, and now my kids are all in school, so I have the ability to work more, so I see that it's going to change, but I don't have a lot of evidence of it having changed the last 10 years, because I made the choice to stay home with my kids.
This is where I think Tanya's idea, and Tanya, you can take it from here, but I think this is probably where I would give you homework to be more specific, because when you use never and always, that's your mind kind of painting with one paintbrush. And if it's breaking up three different times when you were a teacher, or any time in your marriage when you've had where what you brought in, you had that felt experience. Right now you're not aware of that. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just that word make. Like my grandfather passed away and he gave me a little bit of money and that helped for a few years, but I didn't make that money. So it's the word make, I think, that's messing me up.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're thinking you have to make all of the money versus your husband making some and you make some, and there might be, you know, there might be another.
Yeah, so maybe I should change. I mean, can I, at this point, maybe I should change it and stop putting the pressure on me to be the one to make us be able to have more comfort and make it. But can a limiting thought be we will never make, or does it have to be I?
Well, we're this far down, so I wouldn't change it. I would still give you,
okay.
I would give you homework to try to find it. And there's, I think this is a, this is a juggernaut in your thinking, so I would be curious to have more of what are those threads that are creating the stuckness in this, like it has to be me to make the money before I'll relax, something like that.
Yeah, and actually, Rachel, you threw out, as I was asking you to describe, you know, how you feel about it, you threw out a bunch of extra beliefs at that point that I thought I made note of and thought, you know, there's some stuff, but I should be doing more. I'm not doing enough. What I did was wrong. I questioned my past choices. So there's some other beliefs that are all tying into this, and I think that's kind of why your thought, this is a strong thought that's got a lot of other thoughts reinforcing it and propping it up. So it might be tough just in this one little conversation for us to get through it. And it might be we go through some of those other thoughts that I should be doing more, I'm not doing enough, and soften it up a little bit. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Chris Marie's thought on what she thinks, though.
Oh, Tanya, no, I think you're right on. I think this is, you did answer, Tanya was going to take a little bit more time on question three, or question four. You did great on question three. Who would you be without? And you're like, oh, just be matter of fact. That was it was a little bit quick. So I think, Rachel,
yeah,
is a good area for you to turn your attention towards. And one, I'd give you homework to be more discerning. And you may not be able to come up with it because it is such a juggernaut of when you have made money that has taken your family to a place of more comfort. Or different delineate specific examples of when you were a teacher, like Tanya was trying to get you out of all black and white thinking. When I was a teacher, it was good, and since we've been in a family, it's not been good. Does that make sense, Rachel?
Yeah.
And even I would loosen up your thinking around being comfortable, and maybe there. From my personal experience, I've had times when I had a little job and I was able to pay for dance lessons for my daughter. And that, it made things more comfortable. We didn't go to Hawaii.
I guess I could be more specific too. I will never have money to go on vacation. I'm dying to go on vacation right now.
Right.
So I guess for me, vacation is something that I used to go. I don't even want to go anywhere too exotic, but we used to travel a lot, and that's just gone out the window. So I think that in my mind is comfortable. To be comfortable is to be able to take a vacation once a year.
right. And maybe there's some other examples of being comfortable that are definitely there, that are definitely true.
Yeah.
I think that's
well. I guess another example would be my in-laws took us on vacation about 4 years ago. My parents actually paid and took us on vacation. So there have there have been instances where other people have taken us on vacations. So, but again, that's not me making that trip happen. So I think
there is something about the make. You need to make it happen. I would look at what
right.
the beliefs are that.
Well, maybe I don't mean to make it happen. Maybe I just need to let go of that thought to begin with, because I'm really, really busy. What's that?
I said you have that thought, so it'd be nice if you could let go of it, and you might need some support in I need to make the money. I need to, that particular frame.
Yeah.
This is Robin. I get the sense that there's two separate things. There's the I will never make enough money, and there's the I will never be comfortable. And maybe if we were, or if Rachel is able to look at those independently, then maybe she can get some relief around the comfort issue and then go with the money issue as maybe a more central one.
What do you think, Rachel?
Yeah, I have to say I'm pretty happy otherwise. I think it's more the vacation thing, wanting just to be able to have to do extra to do the fun stuff. So I don't know that, because I'm happy and comfortable and warm and fed and all that and take good care of myself and all that. It's just the feeling I would need a little more to, feel like we're providing and experiencing fun things with our kids and so on. I live in Vermont. It's very harsh and cold and miserable this time of year. So
I think what Robin might be suggesting, though, is I'll never make enough money is maybe one area. I'll never have enough money to go on vacation might be another one.
Yeah, I think they're the same. They're the same. Yeah. Because one leads to the other.
You, in your mind, it leads to the other. You need to make it in order to go on a nice vacation, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I wonder what the, I guess what I'm trying to figure out is what really is the another thought to work. And it's about making, not having money, because your parents have taken you on vacation. So there's something for you about making.
Right. Yeah,
Go ahead, Rachel. I was just going to suggest that one thought, but you go ahead.
I think because I went to a very academic high school and college, and I have a master's degree and blah, 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 and say, but then I have made the decision to raise my kids, so my career got completely put on hold, and then I changed careers a couple times. So I think there's still this little voice in my head, you know, you should do this, you should be further along. I look at some of my friends who didn't stay home, not that I regret ever staying home for a second, but they didn't, and then, you know, had been in their companies for 20, 30 years, and they're in a much better place than I am financially. So I think that plays into all these spinning around thoughts.
Mm-hmm. I think Tanya's idea about, you know, looking at some other thoughts like I should be farther along, I should be making more money.
I should be doing more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing enough. What I did was wrong. Yeah, those are all ones that you said.
Yeah, and you're saying it now about comparing yourself to your college buddies. Like that might be a little deeper thought. So it might be how about this, gals? What I would suggest, if you're willing, is, Tanya, you do the five whys or do some self-limiting to get to a thought around money, or Rachel, and have a session in between now, because we're going to meet next week, and see if you can get to, because I think this is a big issue for you, Rachel, and it's...
yeah, it's a huge one.
The reason I notice that is because it's so, well, no, it's never, and it's always, and it was this and that, and... That means we've bumped into your personal religion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't want it to hold me back going forward, and I don't think I can be a successful coach without tackling this big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have a lot of issues otherwise. You know, like
I was thinking of doing you might actually, before your session with Tanya, try to judge your neighbor, because you are comparing yourself to your classmates. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah, Facebook is good for that. No, just for, you know, the vacation. Just everybody's, it's February and everyone's on a beach somewhere and I'm stuck in, you know, cold weather. I probably only do it in February or January, you know, and January and February is when I'm like, oh, vacation. But I'm not a big judge your neighbor kind of person, actually. I'm usually pretty focused on myself and my family and not somebody who really thinks a lot about other people.
Until you look on Facebook in February.
Until I look at people on the beaches, and then I get, I want to be there. Yeah.
So I guess I'm wondering if you're willing to try some of these things out.
Yes, sure.
Okay. So, Tanya, are you willing to have another session with Rachel?
I would love to. I would love to. If Rachel's willing, I would love to.
Yes, Rachel?
Yes, definitely. Yes, yes.
Okay. And I, you know, you are not too unusual. You are just bumping your wall, which is really good. It's a good sign. Like, you're hitting pay dirt. It just takes a little bit more time.
And I've worked with this issue a little with David, too, who's on the call, so he knows.
Mm-hmm.
It's an issue that doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
Can I make one suggestion, Rachel?
Yes.
Don't look at Facebook for a week.
No, not until spring.
Just kidding.
Now, can we pause and can we just check in? Because I always like to do a little feedback for Tanya. Can we shift gears?
Yes.
Okay. Tanya, I want you to say what you liked that you did and if you struggled at all, and then we'll ask Rachel, and then I'll chime in.
Well. I'm trying to think of something I liked. I know where I struggled. I thought it was I felt like it was easy and conversational, like the tone was good, the tone she and I had. And I don't know if that's necessarily something I did, but I did feel like that made the situation a little easier. I struggled. I know in my mind I was struggling with the getting her to go deeper and to really, you know, is it absolutely true and feel that space of truth. And I it didn't feel like I'd got her there, and I didn't, I really felt that. It was a very, the conversation stayed in her head, and it was pretty clear.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we can talk about that. Rachel, what did you like that Tanya did?
I thought she had a good flow. You know, it just kind of flowed from one question to the next. I liked how she's had me get into my core, and I thought her, you know, the way she, I didn't feel lost, like I knew the questions. I mean, even though I already knew some of the questions, I thought, you know, she was very detailed in how she asked them, which I liked.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Anything you struggled with?
Did I struggle with? Well, I think it's awkward knowing that, like, 9 people are listening to your conversation.
Yes.
If I held back, then that's, I mean, you know, it's like personal stuff, and I'm not the person who's going to put 5 paragraphs on the forum about my personal life. I just am not that person, so it's tricky.
Mm-hmm.
So there probably is more. You were right, Tanya.
And so it's neat you're going to do a session afterwards, because there will be only you two. So maybe you'll feel more comfortable dropping in a bit. Tanya, can I give you feedback?
Yes, please.
I thought you did a great job. I really liked how, you know, you took my specific situation and, you located that, and you had the whole medical bill thing. You brought that up in both question 3 and 4. I thought you walked her through question 3 really well, you know, how she felt, her body, how she treated herself, how she treated others. That was perfect. One way of getting into that knowing place, remember when Robin said, I thought about my kids, loving my kids, at the beginning of the call? So rather than just having somebody, well, drop into that knowing place, it might be like, well, I don't know where the fuck that is. Excuse my French. But if you ask me, and I'm just going to use this, my dog passed away a year ago, who was my first real dog. If you ask me, make a statement or think of something that you absolutely know is true, like, for me, it would be, I love Souk. And I just, when I say that, I just feel her and I feel my belly, and it's, nobody could convince me that I don't love Souk, even though she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So having them think of us, and I don't think you did that. Tell me where I'm wrong.
No, yeah, I didn't, and that's a great, great tip.
Yeah, and so just ask them to think about something that is irrefutable. You know, whether they love their kids, and it might not fit for, you know, kids or whatever. But you could give an example so they have an idea of what you're talking about. And then they'll feel that, oh, right. And they have a felt sense of that. So that's one, I just wanted to give you that tip.
And do you do that first? This is Rachel. Do you do that first, or when do you do that in the questions?
She did it between the 2 true questions.
Okay.
Do you absolutely know it to be true? And now, think of something where it's irrefutable. You know, you have the sense of truth. Like for me, I know I love my dog. And then, do you absolutely know it to be true? So she did it in there. And I think that fits. I mean, this is kind of a new thing that Martha kind of is working with. That's where I would try it. And you can try it before you go into any of it, before you say, is it true? Can you absolutely know it to be true? But I thought it was a nice place between the 2 true questions. And also, Tanya, I really liked when she was struggling with the evidence. And, I mean, she started to talk to me, but I thought you were, your idea about, well, let's make it more specific when you were a teacher. I thought that was a really good place to go. And even, oh, I have a sense. Look, I wrote down these questions. So those were all, you know, I mean, wrote down these beliefs that might be related to this. Those are all really good spidey senses. I thought you did a great job.
Thank you. Thank you.
And if we had given you more time, like you guys came in with your, this is just a good thing to think about too. Like you came in with your limiting beliefs, but my sense is it probably would have been helpful to do a little bit more, and I didn't give you time for this, so I'm letting you know that, but to feel a little bit more around the initial belief, and when does it, you know, you might have been able
right.
to kind of untangle it a little bit differently or come up with something slightly different that might have, and we don't know. That's just a hunch. So.
Yeah, we've done this in our buddy coaching, actually, the same, and I had the same experience that we, if you just start with a belief, sometimes it's right and sometimes you're better off doing some whys and probing and getting to an even better belief to tackle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was my hunch when we were going through, wow, I would do more get the five whys to try to get underneath, which some stuff
yeah.
doesn't come out, but even in your session that you do, I would encourage you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We're just kind of like tilling the field, kind of,
yeah.
You know, where are the rocks in here? Because that's what we want to turn towards and work with.
Can I ask a question? This is Rachel. I guess I'm asking what the point is of the limiting belief in regard to, in some instances, can some people come to the realization that their limiting belief is true and that that's just okay? You know, like it's not always to disregard that these limiting beliefs are wrong. Sometimes is it more about accepting that they are true and moving past that?
Well, you know, I in Byron Katie's world, there's not much that's absolutely true. Like that will die, mm-hmm. but she would even say, but our spirit lives on. So and the idea is if it's causing you suffering, we're trying to, like, I don't know if you'll never make enough money to go on vacation. I can't know that to be true. Do you know that to be true?
No.
Is that the one you're fighting for?
No, but I guess it's just the question of whether it's important that it be that never make or have, or whether it's okay to accept that maybe that's not my role in my family.
That's
to be the producer.
Could be that, Rachel, but I think there's more there that is creating suffering for you. Like when you talked about this has come up when I look on, you know, just even I went to a very academic high school. You said that at least twice. So that makes me think there's something about your judgments of yourself and how much money you're making now that creates suffering for you. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, there is. I mean, I had so much confidence when I was younger that I would be highly successful.
mm-hmm.
But kids kind of got in the way of that, not in a good way, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, so that does, I mean, it's not something that keeps me up at night, but it does pop in occasionally.
Well, certainly,
it was my priority when I was younger, and then it faded once I had kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there might be some part of you that's not okay with that. Even though you love your kids and you wouldn't change what you've done, it sounds like some part of your belief system still has an issue with the ramifications of that.
Hmm.
Tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah, I guess I feel like I should be further along somehow than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to high school in the 80s when it was all about, you know, women going back to work, women, you know, working, blah, blah, blah. So I think it got like drilled into my head. And even though I ignore it most of the time, every once in a while that little voice pops back in of the 80s woman in the suit, you know, taking over Wall Street or something. It's like.
Yeah. And Rachel, just even right now, when you think about that, you know, the 80s woman, Wall Street, I'm going to take over the world, like, and that kind of sense of I should be farther along, what do you notice in your body?
Just this tightness, like I get shallow, shallow breaths and tightness down my spine.
Mm-hmm. So tightness down your spine and shallow breath.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there any sort of see if you can turn towards that something in you that thinks you should be further along. And just see if you notice if it has any sort of shape or color or age, any sort of sense of this part of you that thinks you should be further along.
I think it's 15 when you just said age. Did you say age?
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's 15. It's like, you know, I'm working hard in this school to, you know, amount to this big success.
Yeah. So that, so... just even turning towards and acknowledging that that 15-year-old has so much hope about her future.
Mm-hmm.
And sounds like if you could guess how she feels about the outcome right now, do you have a sense of emotionally how she's feeling about this?
Yeah, just kind of like, oh, you haven't done it yet. You've had a while. You've had a few years. Disappointment.
So that's a thought. What disappointment?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said? Disappointment? Yeah.
Yes.
Could you see if you can, and where is that in your body when you check in freshly right now, that sense of disappointment?
It's funny because right when I said it, my lower back started to hurt. And I hold a lot of tension in my lower back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just even acknowledging that that's right now, that's where this 15-year-old is feeling this sense of disappointment. And letting her know that you know she's there. And see if you can sense what she's wanting.
Hmm.
You may not know.
I know the word slow down came into my head, that everything's fine and that I don't even really want what I thought I wanted when I was 15, that I'm, you know, perfectly happy the way things are.
My sense is that's probably another part of you, so that's an equally valid part of you, so just even acknowledging that,
mm-hmm.
and also letting this disappointed 15-year-old be there. Like, both are true. There's some part of you, this is my hunch, there's some part of you that's like, hey, slow down, we're okay, this is perfect, and still that disappointed 15-year-old. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Mm-hmm. And just even holding the belief that you're the space that can hold all of it. Like, you don't have to change that 15-year-old. You don't have to change the one that knows it's all perfect. Like, this is all of you.
Yeah, and a lot of things that the 15-year-old wanted did happen, have happened. So it's just that one thing.
Yeah. And so, really, spending some time with her, because she gets to feel just how she feels, and your attention towards her will actually bring her more into the light so you can actually be with her, because she had a lot of hopes and expectations, at least around this one piece, that are not. It's kind of like turning towards her with some compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Does she know you're there with her, kind of a larger sense of you?
I don't know. How would you gauge that?
Well, she feels, usually if a part that we're turning towards knows we're there with them, they kind of, you can kind of have, they may have a sense of the contact that they want from you. And
I don't
if
know.
It doesn't fit, don't worry. Let it go.
Yeah.
Don't try to think about it too hard.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
can't,
just even
I can't
checking
think of it
in
that perspective.
Don't worry, because more of what I'm trying to do is have you feel. So what is it that you feel in your body right here, right now?
I think I feel conflict. Like that one part of me says one thing and the other part says another. So I think it's confliction.
So even with that, so two parts, it's kind of this idea that we are not just one part of us, but kind of...
Mm-hmm.
When two parts have different experiences, it's actually turning towards one and listening to that and so the 15-year-old, and then also turning towards the other. And right now, which one wants your attention most right now? Which one's louder?
Well, the person that I am now is louder because I am focusing on the day-to-day and my kids, and I haven't gone out and gotten a full-time job. And
So you're going into the future right here, right now, in your body. Is it the voice that said, hey, everything's okay, or is it this, what, you know, check in with your back and see if you sense her disappointment? What are you feeling in your body right now?
I think there's, I do feel a little fluttery anxiety about the thinking about, I know you don't want me to talk about the future, but thinking about the future.
Hey, that's okay. Some part of you is worried about the future. So actually, turn and acknowledge that part of you that's worried about the future.
Yes.
And like, what does that part want for you? That part that's worried and anxious and fluttery. What does it want?
I have no idea. I don't know. But I feel like that's fighting with the part of me that's trying to be present and trying to be in the moment and happy and, you know, and then there's this little voice like pops back in and I'm trying to tell it to shut up.
So what I would suggest is, even, you can do this a lot of different ways, but my hit, Rachel, is if I were working with you, and Tanya, you may, what is in your, used to do this in your session, is to spend more time kind of grounding and feeling your body and just turning towards these different parts, the one that's worried about the future, the disappointed one, the one that says everything's okay. You can do that journaling, left hand, right hand. There's different ways to get at that. But to allow all of that to be there, and I know there's probably one that wants it all solved and figured out. Well, it's just a protector trying to make you okay. But that's one way to not just have it be your head. Because you're quick to go to your head, and we want to keep you connected to your body as a way of guiding you to what's there and what needs your attention. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Okay. And I just kind of was doing a little mind-body. I didn't even, I would have done a whole graphic piece to support you. But, and you might, I think you guys are still in your mind-body practice world, right? Have you done your 100-word thing yet? Are you still practicing your mind-body?
I haven't written it up. I actually just realized this morning that I needed to do that.
That's okay. Just encourage you to still practice some of the tools, climbing back in your body, noticing what you feel as you think about these different things. I think that will help your work with Tanya when you're doing the work about some of these beliefs.
Yeah, and I actually used to teach yoga, so I have a lot of experience with this, but I found that I have to be practicing daily exercise, you know, meditation, or my mind just wants to take over. Like, I have a very type A spinning kind of thought process going on in my head all the time.
Yeah, so that's a really great awareness. And it can be yoga that can support you getting in your body. It can also just be feeling your bum and your feet and taking a pause and noticing what's happening. This is for anybody. I have to do it because otherwise I go brrrr.
Yeah.
So that just might be something to even notice when you are doing the work with Tanya. Can you feel your body? Like, check in. Because you do have that connection. You're very aware when she was doing, like, question three. But it may be a have to kind of come up to your head.
Yeah, it is.
Including. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've gotten pretty good at ignoring.
Right.
I mean, I'm trying to be less so like that, but. And again, I think it goes back to high school, because I went to boarding school and I was so homesick and I used to cry like all day long, and I had to pretend that I wasn't. So I had to ignore my body, and I started getting a lot of sickness, and I had to ignore it and just focus on school. So I think I learned to just soldier on, you know, be tough, and don't pay any attention to your body. So it's taken me since 15 to kind of unlearn all that, and I've been working hard at it. I have. It's just, it's not, you know, it's not there yet.
Well, I mean, progress, not perfection. And
yeah.
This is just another, when we have a really deep, we're bumping into our own kind of personal religion, that's when we go to all our old habits. So I want you to acknowledge that you have been moving forward. It's just more, there's probably, it's a little bit trickier in these tougher areas,
mm-hmm.
is my guess.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, well, we're at time, but I think this is all, it's never a straight line. I appreciate, actually, that this showed up the way it did.
That's good, because I felt like I did it wrong.
No, you didn't do it wrong. You are bumping into you, and that's what coaching is about. So I think you're a great example for all of us, that it's not about everything being in a neat, nice bow, and it doesn't all, it's like one session does not solve a problem that has been like a ball of yarn. So,
mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that you're willing to work with Tanya in between
yes.
now and Monday. So, and you don't have to put it on the forum, but if you report to us next class, would that be okay?
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, good. Any other questions? Because we've been, we kind of went a little different route, but so I want to open it up if anybody has any questions or concerns or before we end today. Okay. Well, next class will be our last on the work. So I would encourage you to keep not just Tanya and Rachel, but I would have a session. One, continue to do your mind-body homework because I think it's hugely valuable. And try the slower pace work that you guys saw Martha. And next time we're going to be covering ACT tools. So I think there's probably some things for you to review before you come to class around that. So hopefully you'll coach 2 to 3 people using the work and get coached using the work and taking your time. Okay. Well, if there's no more questions, I will see you next week. And you can put stuff on the forum or you can write me, email, whatever. And otherwise, we'll talk next Monday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Yes.